Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Joe Zimmel and Valerie Friedman.
Yes, we're back. We're back. We never really went away, but we're back to do our yearly March Madness show. I think with greater emphasis on madness than maybe a lot of radio shows and TV programs you might hear discussing college basketball. We will discuss college basketball. We will talk to the president of a formerly obscure college that became famous by being on our show 2 years ago. That's our position anyway. We'll talk a little bit about the men's and the women's brackets. Julia Pestel will reveal her unusual way of picking winners in this year's tournament. I mean, it's always very unusual. Bill Curry and Frankie Graziano will be joining us to do some alleged basketball commentary. I think there's some other stuff, but I've forgotten what it is. It's probably not that important anyway. Anyway, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy flight.
What should I call this happy madness that I feel inside of me? Some kind of wild October gladness that I never thought I'd see. What has become?
Well, first of all, you shouldn't be calling it October gladness. You should be calling it March Madness. Come on, Frank. Get with the program here. Welcome to our annual March Madness show. We do this every year. That's why we call it annual. And we do it with the same people, by and large. We do it with Bill Curry, who is playing the part of Bill Curry. And, of course, was one of the member of the cast of The Exorcist. I don't know. Is there anything else? Anything else about you that's interesting that I should mention?
This show and The Exorcist?
Yeah.
No, that's
probably
pretty much it.
Probably
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
Those are the two peaks. If we're talking peaks.
Yeah.
Yes. And then somebody who's having a lot of trouble getting her homework done on time right now, Julia Pestel, founding member of CT Improv, among a number of other things, including occasionally producing this show. She also every year unveils a new way of picking winners in March Madness. Also joining us, although he's actually has to sit at a separate table. It's kind of like Thanksgiving or something. You don't need to sit with the grown-ups.
He could have showered, okay?
He made that decision.
He made the hygiene decision, and I was at the other table.
I'm going to knock on the window to see if I can get in here.
Yeah. So, all right, get ready, Mr. Get ready, Maestro. Frankie Graziano, otherwise known as...
Accu Frankie.
Also the host of The Wheelhouse on Connecticut Public. All right, so we have a lot of stuff to talk about here at the beginning. And what we typically need to do, because it's the most exciting part of this, is to find out how Julia has decided to pick winners in the brackets this year. So we're all ears.
Okay, well, I just want to say this is getting really stressful. This is like my 15th time trying to come up with a new way.
When we think of things like ghost stories and things like that that you've already burned.
Yes, I've done campus ghosts, anagram names. Everyone thinks mascots. Hmm. Took me about 10 years to get to fight songs. But this year, I'm feeling science-minded, so I did inventions from the university or the locality of the university.
All right.
So the idea here is that if something was invented, it would give the player some advantage because it's in the local lore or something like that.
This sounds like these things always sound like they're kind of a lot of work. It's like, I feel like you're leaving your children at the McDonald's Playscape so you can just get this stuff done for us.
That's a good idea. I do have to give a really big caveat here because you could get a lot of calls, and I'm sorry. I want to emphasize that I spent less than 5 minutes per team to Google this. So this has been whatever the opposite of fact checking is. This has been. So I'm going to say stuff that's wrong.
I like your suggestion that this year people would be complaining in particular about the accuracy of your predictions.
Yeah, I would just say when you started out, like with picking the teams based on whose mascot could beat up the other school's mascot, that was simple. I mean, it was brilliant, but it was simple. Researching the inventions in the locality of the university, it has been a journey into complexity. Yeah. Of course, listeners should also know this is all just a because her bracket can year in and year out beats mine. So this is a cover for some hustle she's running.
But also, Bill, I want you to know that last year, for the first time, I did watch 1.5 basketball games.
Yeah.
So.
And you've been copping an attitude ever since.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, now suddenly she's Seth Davis.
Yeah.
all right, so give us an example. There's a
sure.
New Mexico. You told me which one to ask for, and I've already forgotten.
I will tell you right now. Okay, so Clemson versus New Mexico. Okay. So sometimes the inventions just lined up really well. They're very exciting. So in Clemson, at the university, they developed materials that can heal themselves, which is sort of a freaky, like, Terminator-like situation. So this is recent. It's I read some patents. That's how deep I'm going.
Wow.
So that was interesting enough. But New Mexico, they developed robot arms that served tacos to the faculty and staff.
Oh.
So
I see where we're headed.
Healing also, robot skin or robot arms that make tacos. Yeah.
And also the atomic bomb. But go ahead.
Right. Yeah. I feel like only the taco one is going to deprive me of future employment. So
okay.
That's the one I'm nervous about.
Yeah. Well, I gave it to Clemson as well because I feel like the healing skin material could eventually be used in some kind of sports application. But no robot arms will ever be allowed.
All right. So I have to make an announcement here. Which is, please, if you are betting, don't bet on any of the things that Julia says because you will probably lose a lot of money. Also, if you need help, which I think everybody on this show does, call the Connecticut Council on Problem Gambling at 888-789-777. Mm-hmm. Was that enough? 7777. Or if you have trouble counting, also, you can call them. Or the Gambling Helpline of Massachusetts, 800-327-5050. Is 50-50 a good number for a gambling hotline?
Or 777,
Come on, 7! Come on, 7!
By the way, our real concern is that we are betting on her predictions, and if you're betting, then it lowers the odds lose money.
I just invested a lot of money in the robot taco arm, so I'm...
You're out. Yeah.
I'm probably in a lot of trouble. So, I mean, on a semi-serious note here, well, we'll go back to Julia for some of her other picks along here. We'll talk a long time so you can fill them all in.
Thank you so much.
We can finish this up on Science Friday.
So the one thing that I've said a couple of times leading up to this is that this is the year where, arguably we could almost shift away from the men's bracket because the most famous basketball player in America, Frankie, is a woman. The most famous college basketball player in America is a woman, Caitlin Clark. I don't think you could easily have said that in any previous cycles, but it's absolutely the case.
People are going to Iowa to watch her play.
Yeah, people are paying, for her to break the scoring record, people were paying $400 in secondary ticket markets, which we used to call scalping. I mean, that's like amazing all by itself. Just, she really has... she and some other things has made this a very interesting women's year. I'm sure Frankie and Bill both want to say
that. You just think about, we were talking earlier about Zach Edey and you got Donovan Klingon, but there's just Armando Bacot. These are not names that people really know nationally. So you got Juju Watkins on the other side with the women. You also have Paige Beckers, who not a lot of people might be talking about now because of all the injuries, but you have Cardozo with South Carolina. There's just more names. And obviously, of course, there's Caitlin Clark. But then you got the defending champs there with Angel Reese and all that's been going on at LSU. So definitely more star power now in the women's game. You even had Shaq yesterday saying that the women's game is better to watch, too. So a lot more intrigue, I guess, on the women's side of the bracket.
F you, Frankie.
That's my life. Now right. I feel like I've served my purpose. Thank you.
All right, Bill. Thoughts?
There's no question you're right about all this. I have a certain feeling of regret looking back over the years of not having hyped the Huskies enough. I realize this is a state of nothing but Husky hype. Last year's show, I didn't even have them going to the Final Four when they won a national championship. In fact, I didn't even mention them. And it is amazing. This for 30 years, UConn really has been the undisputed capital of college basketball. The number of championships is enormous. And it's too bad. The UConn women's team, it reminds me that in radio days, the Woody Allen joke about the baseball player who kept losing limbs in hunting accidents but kept pitching anyway. And they're down five players, and they've won both the regular season and the tournament. I would love to see a Paige Beckers, Caitlin Clark game.
Oh yeah,
I would love to see that. And they are actually—I mean, all credit to Caitlin Clark and what she's done—but they are players of equivalent skill sets.
I don't want to say it because God might strike me down, but I think this might be the last hurrah for the Huskies because you got Nika Mule who's going to be gone next year. Aaliyah Edwards will be gone next year, likely going to the WNBA. There's this weird thing, I guess, in college basketball where you don't really qualify for the NLI if you're not from America. So Aaliyah Edwards from Canada and Nika Mule from Croatia. So mm-hmm. I guess they don't get any of that NLI money, so they'll be out of there. And Paige Beckers
We should explain some stuff, though. Like, a lot of people listening to this particular episode are not necessarily
because God just struck Frank
down. That's true.
But your overall point, you want to see UConn win. We had 9 years where they didn't win anything, and now you got the Huskies as defending champions. You want to see the women get back there, and it was supposed to happen with Paige Beckers.
Right. So NIL refers to name, image, likeness. This is a new thing that allows college players to benefit from the use of their name, image, or likeness, and to essentially sign endorsement deals.
Not if you're from Canada or Croatia, though.
I did not know that wrinkle. I did not know that.
I saw that on ESPN.
When will Croatia ever catch a break?
Doug Eddard, who was like the big star of St. Peter's 2 years ago, and then got into the transfer portal, which is another thing we have to talk about.
He was him.
I got out of there, but he has like a Buffalo Wings deal. He's scoring 5 points a game this year. He is the Buffalo Wings.
Are you going to ask the St. Peter's president about that?
We've already recorded that interview. Every year we do obscure college presidents, which is not a fair thing to call St. Peter's at this point.
Not now.
But they used to be. And we did talk this again this year, as we did 2 years ago, to the president of St. Peter's University. You will hear that in just a second. All right, we're going to go back over to the decision desk. Julia,
yes.
Do you have another matchup that you'd like to feature
here?
I do.
I'd like to talk about Kansas versus Samford, and this is where our my secret sound effect is going to come into play. So at Kansas, the helicopter. Kansas is the home of the helicopter, which is a loud, annoying sound. But a louder, more annoying sound is the klaxon horn, which was invented near Samford. There we go. Thank you so much.
We paid $40,000 for that. Yeah. We had to actually pay Samford $40,000.
Yeah. So I think the klaxon horn, this is a close match for me, despite them being wildly different in their basketball skills, I guess. I don't know anything about
actually,
that.
No, actually, Samford is a reasonable upset pick.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So this is why Julie is a genius. This is what I'm going to be staying up doing tonight is watching a private... A Baptist University from Alabama play basketball tonight.
Yeah, and you're going to be thinking that sound is loud and sporty, which is what the players need to be acclimated to do their best.
Frank, you should be taking notes. Yeah. Okay,
that's why.
Yeah.
I'm feeling a little better about Buckyball and Stanford tonight.
What about the Sikorskis? Didn't Connecticut?
That's what I was going to say. Stratford's the actual capital of
789. Well,
it could be a disputed thing. Yeah. Maybe the helicopter.
Yeah, I do want to say that every single university ever says they're the home of the computer.
Yeah.
There's little pieces of computers that were invented in every single city in America. So just FYI, that was a problem I ran into.
One thing we should also quickly talk about, and Frankie, maybe you can set this up. You'll hear it in the St. Peter's president interview, the term transfer portal. And one thing I should say about this is, Frankie, you should first of all set it up. Explain what this is and why it's a difference.
When you just think traditionally about like college sports, you think about people like Bobby Knight, I would think, right? These coaches that exhibited a lot of authority over the team. There's a lot of coaches out there, players, people that played for these guys that might say, hey, I had my best years in my life learning from Bobby Knight. But it's not this way anymore. These players have a lot more power, and they have an ability to not necessarily just be, wedded to the team that that picked them. They can now go freely to other schools. They can go through the transfer portal. They can go through multiple times. They don't have to sit out a year. And also, like we were talking about earlier, they have that NLI money. Mm. So the national image and likeness money, and NIL.
NIL.
Yes, NIL. So there's definitely a lot more power, and it seems like the balance of power has shifted a little more to the players. If you worry about that kind of thing, UConn doesn't seem to have that kind of a problem. They've got Dan Hurley, who just went back into the portal this year and got this guy Cam Spencer from Rutgers to come over to play for UConn, and now they're having a good year with Cam Spencer helping out with their guard play. So, I mean, you have these coaches, these old school coaches that are starting to move away from the game because it's perceived that it's harder to coach in it, to deal with all these rules, and then you have other coaches who are embracing it.
Actually, Hurley also entered the portal and got Wes Balasutnia and Toby Kibble.
Yeah, so
you can go back and through the portal. Why is this
robot arm through the portal?
Yes, right.
It took me a while to realize that the portal didn't lead to the Alpha Centauri star system.
Right. You know, why is this technology only available to Star Trek and college basketball? Why isn't it more widely available?
Yeah.
Well, you as a political thinker should think about that.
It's a monopoly. Okay. So we need better regulation of
trade. I want to be fair, though. I don't know if I want to like blame coaches too much for not wanting to go to kids' houses and beg them to play basketball as they get older. I get that. Yeah. I want to be on the beach.
Frankie was saying it earlier, just that what NBA coaches have been complaining about for decades is that they can't really manage their team. They all wish they were back in college. Well, if they were, they would now find that it's the same thing. And it all and much of it comes from the increasing empowerment of the players, and I like all of it. But just as with so many, you know, the portal. I mean, you've got guys playing college ball now, past the age at which pro players used to retire. I mean, they're just
in used to have the opposite problem. Yeah, people would leave early.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Doug Edwards like 37 years old.
Yeah, that's
right. He's still playing for Bryant, and he's got a Buffalo Wings deal. So you know. I mean, yeah. Also,
but you're also making $5-6 million a year as a coach, and your players were making nothing. And now,
that's eminent. Part of it is eminently fair. I will say that what they did this year is, I think I have this right, that they opened the portal the day after Selection Sunday. So, like, a lot of people are trying to get their teams ready to play in this tournament, and then they're also worried: should I be trying to, you know, recruit somebody else? And some of the teams that didn't make it. And by the way, as an American, you have an inalienable right to hate Rick Pitino. And so he, at St. John's...
Well, even Croatians.
They can't even take it away from Croatians.
The Pitino thing is truly global.
The one right that they have.
Yeah.
So so he didn't make the draw, and he refused to go to the NIT, as did... Who was it? Woodson, I think, wouldn't bring his team. Indiana.
Because he's not a sore loser? Was that why he did that?
Yeah. Well, it's like you and I are so old. We remember when the NIT was the really important one.
Yes.
That was the one that you actually tried to get into. And now people...
It's a big deal.
People feel comfortable saying, I don't think so. I just think I want to go to the NIT. I salute Shaheen Holloway, who's the coach of Seton Hall. He used to be at St. Peter's, who let his starters vote on it. And they voted
UConn this year.
Yeah. They voted 5-0. Then we're going to go to the NIT because the players want to play some more. They don't want to stop playing basketball.
Right, that's right. If virtually every team that let the players vote would end up in the tournament. Mm.
All right, we have to go to the decision desk. We have some new information coming in here.
Yes.
This is like election night where the information comes in live.
Yeah.
You're like updating all the time.
I'm just constantly writing. I am not anytime you guys talk about real basketball, I just tune out.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I like the distinction she's making between real basketball and something else.
Okay. So let me ask you something, Colin. Would you believe that Houston, the home, they claim, inventor of public television, would win against Longwood, which invented something called the Lit Limo, which is a limousine full of books. This is an intellectual...
I thought it was going to be a different limo. Sorry.
I like the sort of... I like the way QVC way that she set this up. How much would you expect to pay for this chopper right here, this vegetable chopper? How much would you expect to pay for
it? I just want to say we're on public radio now.
I know.
So, well, let me just say something about that, which is that in circa 1994, went to Farmville, Virginia, the location of Longwood University, and stayed there for several days teaching classes. I was actually invited as opposed to, like, a lot of times I just show up and teach classes. I'm not invited. But there was a guy there teaching a seminar on the serialized novel.
And I had just written a serialized novel. And so I was invited to go there. So I was, and there was nothing for me to do the rest of the day. I was busy 1 hour a day. So I would go to their gym and shoot baskets. So,
you should have been riding the lit limo.
Yeah, the lit. Tell us about the, this is, if you're
it
hammered.
It was invented by a librarian. And I read an article about it.
It's, I thought like lit, like drunk. Yeah.
That's where I thought you were going.
I know. That's what I thought. But no.
Because Barney, when he was here, Barney and I would go out in the lit limo sometimes. Well, you know, just get some Cristal and... drive around town.
So there was really the librarian in Frankenstein's laboratory, and she's coming up with this thing.
But it doesn't really matter who you pick, because they will eventually end up facing off against Texas A&M, which cloned a cat. So they invented cloned cats.
What?
And so like we're Texas going with A&M. Cloned cats over any intellectual pursuits.
Except, do we really want more cats? And don't we need, for example, our producer McCusker, the Wonder Kid, has a very evil cat named Penelope. I don't want Penelope to be cloned.
Well,
there's already one too many Penelope.
Yeah, we don't want many different new cats. We want to clone the best cat. You know how there's like one good cat?
Yeah, that's but everybody says that. That's what Oppenheimer said.
No,
which of course
sucks.
Is my cat.
That's what Oppenheimer said. We're just going to use this bomb once against Nazis, and that's it. Yeah. It's
exactly.
over.
That's where Texas A&M's going.
Somebody should make a movie about that. all right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to go over to sort of, you know, metaphorically go to New Jersey. And we'll also talk about that. Julia will let us know a little bit later how St. Peter's is going to do in their first round game.
And I love that basketball. And I took that basketball everywhere I went. You know what? That basketball was like a basketball to me. Come on, you cheerleader.
Support for this podcast comes from Hartford Healthcare.
Elevating Health is funded by Hartford Healthcare. ECMO is a leading-edge, life-saving treatment for patients with cardiac or respiratory failure. Dr. Jason Gluck, director of the Mechanical Circulatory Support Program and Emergency Cardiac Care at Hartford Hospital, explains what it is.
So ECMO stands for extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, outside the body oxygenation of blood. It's a life support technique that's used by highly sophisticated medical systems for patients with severe heart or lung failure. The technique involves removing blood from the body, oxygening it, and then returning it back.
ECMO procedures happen in the ICU, but not all hospitals are equipped with the necessary technology and staff. Dr. Gluck describes Hartford Hospital's ECMO Go team.
So ECMO is considered when treatments have failed, and in our center, with a special ECMO on the go team, we'll actually take that technology to their hospital and help them out there if they need to stabilize the patient and then bring them back to heart for recovery.
For more information, go to ctpublic.org/elevatinghealth.
So you're hearing what may or may not be the official fight song of St. Peter's. I think this came up 2 years ago. It was unclear whether St. Peter's has an official fight song. But let me set the stage, particularly for you who are new listeners. When we do this particular show every year, one of our traditions is to highlight one of the colleges that's maybe a little bit of an underdog, maybe a little bit of a high-numbered seed, and maybe also, you know, not top of mind for a lot of people. And one of the things that's happened for a lot of these colleges when we've done this is that they've made a little bit of a run or they knocked off their first round opponent. But nobody ever did what happened in 2022. We had the president. We should always say we have the president of a college on in order to celebrate this idea. And when we feature the president of St. Peter's in 2022, St. Peter's put together just an unprecedented run to the Elite Eight, which captivated the nation. They won underdog game after underdog game. So, I mean, I assume that that the president of St. Peter's University, Eugene J. Kornacki, is here today hoping to repeat the magic of 2 years ago by appearing on this show, which I think everybody understood was the cause of this incredible win streak. So, first of all, President Kornacki, welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
So, you know, one of the things, first of all, congratulations. And this year, I think it's probably fair to say that St. Peter's is even kind of an underdog to get into the field of 64, heading into the end of the season. Even certainly at the beginning of the season, nobody thought anything like this was possible. Heading even into the end, they had to do some magical stuff, sometimes referred to unkindly as bid stealing, just by being a surprise winner in some tournament games. So it must be especially surprising and gratifying this year. You've overachieved even more than in 2022.
You know, that's true. I mean, one of the things about St. Peter's and our men's basketball, the Peacocks, is that people tend to underestimate them all the time. And they always surprise people, right? So that's what happened in our conference championship run.
We should say that one of the many charming things that happened in 2022 is that the NBC streaming network Peacock kind of adopted your team, or you adopted each other or something. And
that's right.
As I recall, your cheerleaders didn't really have a way to get to the tournament games, and Peacock stepped in and made sure the Peacocks got there.
That's right. We were very grateful to them. They were great supporters during the run.
And I think they even gave like a month of free Peacock to everybody at St. Peter's. But I feel like you could get a month of free anything.
Anything, right?
So,
yes.
But let's not in any way tarnish that gesture. So I guess one of the things I really want to know about is, from 22 to now, what did that do for your college? Your college, which is an outstanding Jesuit university, which has an outstanding academic reputation and is known as a kind of transformative place. I mean, it didn't necessarily need its escutcheon polished up at all. But on the other hand, that kind of national attention, and people were going nuts for the Peacocks. Did that make a difference in terms of how your university was understood nationally?
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the things about the publicity that came out of that run in 2022 was that our profile was raised not only nationally, but internationally as well. And we, at the same time that was happening, we were putting finishing touches on a new brand campaign, which is inspired by "The World Needs More Peacocks." And, you know, we just saw all sorts of metrics just pop as a result of that run. Everything from, you know, product sales to application numbers to donors. It was a heady time for us, and it's lingered even to this very day. You know, one of the things that did come out of that is that, in particular, our graduate student enrollment with the international population, because of the international coverage, which was a surprise to us, more than doubled in the last 2 to 3 years. You know, so it's really paid off in so many different ways.
You know, this would not have been good for your brand campaign, but when you said this, what was triggered in my mind is the Victorian art critic and polymath John Ruskin famously said that some of the most beautiful things in the world are useless. Peacocks and lilies, for instance. But I wouldn't incorporate that to the branding campaign. It doesn't really sing, but just a little aside there. So
I think we'll pass on that one. Yeah.
So, you know, it's college basketball has changed a lot. And even in the last 2 or 3 years, it's changed a lot with transfer portals and name, image, and likeness deals and stuff like that. And I'm wondering how that looks to you. You're mainly trying to run an academic institution. College basketball, you know, probably for the good, but, you know, when you have a success like what you had in 2022, I mean, one of the stars of that team went into the transfer portal. It must feel a little bit different, you know, that you really can't necessarily expect people to hang around just because they have some fond memories of one basketball season.
Yeah, you know, that's really true. I think the level of commitment to institutions is different. I wouldn't say necessarily less, but it's different now than it was previously. And you really can't count on players sticking around. We only have one holdover from the 2022 team. And, positive and negative, right? I mean, the positive is this new coach got to build his own team. And right. We can see the results of some of that groundwork that he's done. It's only 2 years in, you know, and here we are back at the big dance.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said at the beginning. You know, the St. Peter's has maybe even overachieved more than they did in 2022. I was thinking a lot about that, that your coach came in and he had to build a new team, which is, even in the era of transfer portals and stuff like that, not an easy thing to do over a short window. So that is especially impressive. So this is a little bit awkward, but I teach a political science seminar at Yale University, and I'm actually thinking about leaving. I may be entering the transfer portal, and I'm just wondering whether you would have any interest, whether you would. And, you know, I was even looking at some of the St. Peter's courses, like Alexander Hamilton's America, where you use the musical to explore the genius, power, and peril of the social and political experiment that is America. I could teach that course. I could sing a lot of that course. Also the one, I mean, every college campus in America now has a course, including Yale and Harvard, has a course about The Wire, right? So the American City Through the Wire, I think I could teach that. So who should I just talk to you privately? I guess we shouldn't be talking about this on the air. That's
yeah. Well, you know, just send me an email and we'll follow up with that. Yeah. You know,
I think I've got a big upside. you know, it might not be, might not show up there on my CV, but it's there somewhere. So yeah, I guess one of the questions I have for you as a college president is, when you have something like this, obviously it's lightning in a bottle. Your campus is, I'm sure, just electric right now, the way that it was 2 years ago. On the other hand, you don't want to be entirely a basketball school. You know, I mean, there must be sort of a challenge to sort of say, yeah, but it's also spring semester and everybody's got to get all our work done. And this is still, you know, primarily an academic institution where we are committed to molding minds and souls into the leaders of tomorrow.
You know, I let me say this, that one of the things about St. Peter's is that our athletic program, particularly the basketball program, has never gotten out of hand as it has perhaps at some other institutions. We have, I think, the right balance between athletics and academics. That, you know, these are student players here. You know, they're academics, essentially. All of our team members are good, solid students. They're remarkable in that sense. But one of the things that's really special about our conference, the MAC, is that all of our institutions are committed to academics as well as athletics. Academics first, athletics alongside. They enhance each other.
So tell us who you're playing in round one.
Tennessee.
That could be a little bit
tough.
Yeah, very tough. But you know what? So were a lot of teams, including Purdue, as I recall, in 2022 in the later rounds. I mean, you played some very, very tough teams in 2022 and you won. And I think you have perhaps that to look forward to. We should just say one last thing, which is that the Peacocks, you are the only Peacock mascot team in America, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, I mean,
as far as I know.
Yeah. No one has come forward anyway.
Has come forward and claimed we stole their brand.
So there's so many other things to celebrate, including, and this is something I just knew, I found out really from my producer's research into you, is that we know that you're based in Jersey City. I didn't realize that the Jersey City is about to become the Paris of New Jersey.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, the Pompidou Museum in Paris is really one of the most amazing, maybe the most amazing showcase for modern art in the world. I mean, just in terms of the kind of space they have and the way that they do it. But you're getting your own Pompidou Center in Jersey City?
We are. Yes, it's, you know, Jersey City is a happening place, and we're just down the street from where that's going
to
be.
All right. Well, all the more reason for me to enter the transfer portal and see if I can become
a peacock.
But meanwhile, best of luck. Best of luck over this weekend. Eugene J. Kornacki is president of St. Peter's University. Thanks for being with us today. All right, we are back. We are back in March Madness Central. We're going over to the decision desk right now, which is staffed by Julia Pastel.
Yes.
Do you have any? Don't announce your final four, your champion yet. We'll do that in the final segment of the show. But you might have some breaking news for us anyway.
Sure. Well, we were just speaking with St. Peter's, so we would love to look at their first game against Tennessee. So let's start with Tennessee. So they a lot of agricultural inventions out there, you guys. And over there, they developed a strawberry decapper. This was like 80 years ago.
Wow.
But very important, revolutionized
can you
the way
get those
that
today?
We... Well, I'm sure they're... this is a signature fruit invention.
Let
but...
me just say, for the last 5 years, you've been walking around with strawberry leaves in your teeth.
Yeah, yeah. You could do something. This all this time, I could have done something
this
about that.
This is the beginning
that.
Of the second chapter yeah. of your yeah. life right
wow.
now.
Yeah. This is great.
This is invented in like 1940. Wow. You're way behind the times. Okay, so, but over near... Yeah. Now, okay, St. Peter's.
That wasn't the only proof of that yeah. statement. Yeah. I just want to... Anyway, continue.
They are... look, they're tiny. So we had to give it to the Jersey City area. And great news, M&Ms. So we're talking M&Ms versus strawberries.
Peanut M&Ms?
It's tough.
It's kind of a value
I think
judgment.
All M&Ms. Yeah, it is.
Oh, good.
But you got to think who would win in a basketball game. People who ate... decap strawberries or M&Ms, and while strawberries would seem like the healthier choice, M&Ms
no.
is going to give you that sugar rush. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm hopeful.
You must have. Are you going to the Final Four with the M&Ms?
That's yeah. I
think
that's
no.
what they do during the timeouts, no, right?
Yeah. You said like, you yeah. said you said their first game, so you're implying they're going to win multiple games.
Well,
will if they do if they they'll play a second game if they beat Tennessee
yes,
with their M&Ms.
But unfortunately, Texas. They are the inventors of the lithium-ion battery, and it would be hard to come up with a more, you know, renewable energy resource than rechargeable batteries. So, unfortunately, I have Texas knocking them out in the very next game.
All right. Well, that's
so
you know.
Sorry. So sorry to deliver this definitely true news.
There's going
to
be winners and losers.
Now you just have to assume the 15 seed is going to win.
And I thought the show was going great.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, just right after that.
What made you think that actually? So, Frankie, one thing that has happened maybe in profusion this year is that there are teams. We should explain a couple of things. One is we should, first of all, explain, if you're just tuning in, that Julia is picking winners based on things invented at a university or near a university. The other thing we should say, though, is this year, I need to explain that one of the ways you can get into the big dance, the Field of 64 or 68 or whatever we're going to call it, is win your tournament, win the tournament of the conference that you're in. So what happened this year was that a lot of teams that wouldn't have made the tournament any other way happened to win their tournament. I mean, this happened with St. Peter's. St. Peter's, no way this St. Peter's was getting in the tournament any other way. And Frankie, that has created a profusion of so-called Cinderella teams.
Yeah, so you're going to have more upsets perhaps in the tournament because you have more Cinderella teams. So I guess it'll be more exciting for the casual basketball fan, but this kind of is what gave birth to that problem that you were talking about earlier with Rick Pitino and whether or not St. John's was going to play in the NIT and things like this, because you had a Seton Hall, you had a St. John's that probably would have made the tournament, but because of the proliferation of these Cinderellas, teams like Oregon snuck in there, trying to think about some other teams off the top of my head, but I think Colorado State snuck in as well. A couple of bid thieves there at the end. NC State as well. One of my favorite players and DJ Burns Jr. over there. The guy's 6'9", 275 pounds. Second on the team in assists. Big guy. I love watching DJ Burns Jr. Now I'm having a daydream over here. But you have those bid stealers, right? So that means that you're going to have more of those Cinderellas versus some of those teams like a St. John or a Seton Hall that, were supposed to make the tournament before the bid thieves, as they're known, won.
I see this bid stealing stuff. I mean, I'm offended by this term. That's what they did. They won. They won the games they were supposed to win. That's not bid stealing. That's winning. You're supposed to win.
Yeah, and people love Cinderella.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
I mean,
true.
That's why they. And then they
that
call
could
them
be
Cinderella
Julia's technique
after,
next
yeah.
year.
Isn't that the point of this? Is that anyone can win?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. And you think about it—the way the teams are built now, and you go into the portal to get some of these guys, they're going to be built to win tournaments. Yeah. So it makes sense.
It's the Cinderella teams that put the madness in March Madness. Okay,
right.
So I say that, and also all those little conferences, it gives them something to live for.
You know, mice and birds helping you get dressed. That,
yeah,
to me,
yeah,
that's madness,
yeah.
Right?
Bluebirds do the dishes for you. You know, that's what happens. I think it's fine.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, so we have to take a break here in just a second.
And oh, he's feeding me scores because there's games actually happening right now, but I probably shouldn't say anything about that. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll say Bill wants to say something unpleasant about Houston. I don't know what else is going to happen. Because when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases never picked at all. So I just lean up on the wall or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Dad, y'all, I never understood black while the jocks get the fly girls and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, but sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name.
Make sure you never miss the Colin McEnroe Show by subscribing to or following our podcast on any app. It is free. The senior producer of the Colin McEnroe Show is Lily Tyson, whose boss is Katie Tolarski, whose boss is Mark Contreras, who reports to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. We don't know why. Back to the show.
We are indeed back. The technical producer today is the maestro. Dylan Reyes is here with us. And Jonathan McPants is the producer of this particular episode. We are here with Bill Curry, a member of the cast of The Exorcist, and has been kind of languishing ever since, waiting for Hollywood to call again. And Julia Pistel, who is one of the leaders of CT Improv. Frankie Graziano, who's known around here as...
Accu Frankie.
is also here adding commentary and stuff like that. So would you like to say something unkind about... Oh, I wanted to bring up, in the conversation that I had with the president of St. Peter's, he brought up a very important point about the theology of Ignatius's Loyola, and I thought you would probably want to respond to it. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. But I knew you were listening to the interview, so I wanted to make you kind of panic.
Yeah, now I'm totally frozen. And but I'll tell you, you couldn't pick a better topic than Ignatius. And so I think I think there ought to be a whole show.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll let you off the hook.
We could book David Ignatius, maybe. All right.
I just want to say how much I hate Houston. And, you know, it's not a rational thing. And but, you know, first of all, I hate Texas. It's just the whole state. I just, you know, their effect on textbooks alone has been awful. And, of course, everything they're doing down there. But my real problem is that when we went into that, the dark passage we spent in that conference, that American Athletic Conference,
shaved years.
They wanted to trick people. They wanted to trick people to think it was the ACC, you know, and it was a terrible conference, as made up of teams that had nothing to do with one another. And Houston embarrassed us on a number of occasions, which in itself is grounds for hating them. And I think they're just a big bunch of cheaters. So what would be nice is if Houston and UConn met up in the Final Four and we got a little revenge, and that would be an important game. I think it's going to happen, and it's going to come out right. And then I think that UConn's going to do the impossible and repeat.
Julie and I will be taking the Longwood Lit Limo to that game.
Yeah,
we'll have to move a few.
Is it painted or is it like basic white?
We'll have to
limo.
Move a few volumes of Nabokov just out of the way.
I also want to say that I like it because I am one of those absolutely rabid basketball fans, and I love being invited on the show. It's not that I know so much about basketball, but in public radio terms, I'm Red Auerbach.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I go to my basketball guru, John Berman, and I get real prep for these things. And he notes that I'm hating irrationally. And I hated Providence for years because I felt they were always upsetting teams that I was devoted to. And now that I can focus on a city as far away as Houston, I feel like I can make more friends here.
You're really broadening your perspective.
I feel like Providence, it's over. We're solid now. Thank you.
Have you seen what the AAC looks like now?
Yeah. No,
North Texas?
Yeah.
I think University of Texas at San Antonio.
I think Zayers is in the conference now, you know, and they're a defunct discount store. So they've really kind of fallen.
We're so lucky to be back in the Big East.
It's the love child of the Conference USA and the old Big East.
The Big East was just, we had three teams in the top 10, but couldn't get more than three teams in the 64-team tournament. No.
It's time. I think it's time to hear a little bit more about. So Julia, who is basing her bracket on. Is there anything else? Yeah, this is a very Thomas Dolby kind of blinded by science. It's the most scientific bracket I think anybody's ever done.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there any game you want to talk about before you get to your Final Four?
I can walk into it.
Of your life.
Yeah. I put about 2 hours of my life. Maybe more. Who knows? I'm in a fugue state. Okay, so... Over at Marquette, an alumni invented bagel bites. But unfortunately, those bagel bites are going up against probably the most famous university invention, which is Florida and Gatorade.
Gatorade.
I know. Gatorade versus bagel bites. We got to go with Gatorade. I'm sorry. I know it's an easy pick. But let me ask you guys this. What's a more powerful juice? This is going to get gross. Gatorade.
Already.
Or the solution that can hold organs to preserve them for organ donation.
I thought that was Gatorade.
Yeah.
I thought that's what they put them in. So you're telling me they use something else. So.
Yeah, they use, over in Wisconsin, they had that they invented the solution. I'm calling it juice, which is gross, but it's vitally important. That can hold your organs, Bill, that if you needed to put your liver aside for a bit and put it back in.
Well, I'm so grateful for that example.
Yeah.
I can't tell you.
They just added more salt to the lime Gatorade.
Yeah. Would you mind if we just wrap this up and go with Gatorade?
Sure. Well, I picked Wisconsin. So my final four, two we've already discussed. We have
you picked Wisconsin for the, the fluid?
Yes. Wisconsin organ preservation fluid and against lithium ion batteries, which is Texas, but I know you hate them, so we won't go into that. Now, over in the West, there are some really fun matchups here. One was Alabama invented the Super Soaker, and Charleston invented a bunch of board games, but I gave it to the Super Soaker, more aggressive. This is athletics after all.
Naturally.
So, don't put beer in a Super Soaker because you could have mold in the Super Soaker.
No, what I do,
it's hard to clean out.
Organ preservation fluid in my Super Soaker.
Everybody's a chemist.
Yeah.
So Alabama made it to my final four as well, although I just want to give a shout out to another really tough matchup, which is North Carolina invented antacids and Wagner invented chewing gum. That was a tough face-off for me.
That is very tough.
Yeah.
As you get older, the antacids call out to you a lot more.
Yes, exactly. You know? But these players are young, so that would be a huge upset.
Chewing gum means a lot more to them.
Yeah, and then finally over in the East, at Auburn, this is really cool. I actually looked at a patent for maybe 45 seconds about this. over at Auburn patented this technology that can change how you react to smells. So if something reacts, like smells too strong to you, you can turn it down or you can turn it up if you need more smell. So I thought that was a very valuable thing in locker rooms and just
Frankie could use a whole carton of that.
So I'm realizing I have an incredibly visceral final four with smell technology, organ solution, lithium ion batteries, and Super Soakers. So that's what I've got for my final four. Should I go all the way?
Yeah, you might as well go all the way.
Okay. Well, this is in real time because I didn't decide. But I think I would say I have Auburn and their smell technology winning the whole thing. I just think that's really cool and could overpower all the juices.
Does the smell technology, did you put something up your nose that makes it? Like, where does the technology happen?
No follow-up question.
You did say you spent 45 seconds looking at the patent.
That would have been minutes.
Yeah.
But it is cool, and I think it is recent. So we can all look into it more, and maybe we'll do a whole show about it. Who knows?
So I think now that she's done that, you guys should be able to make your predictions too. Do you want to begin or
no? Go ahead. I would love to see in the woman's side. I'd love to see UConn go on a run, obviously, and see some of this potential realized. So let's see UConn get to play Juju Watkins and USC, and then maybe get to go to the Final Four. I'd like to see that. But I got chalk there. I like South Carolina over LSU. And then on the men's side, I got the Huskies. I think they're the most balanced team in the country. There's a reason why everybody's picking them. They can run into some trouble, maybe if they give up a lot of three-point baskets. Maybe that happens as early as the second round. But I don't know. I'd love to see a repeat there. So give me UConn on the men's side and give me South Carolina on the women's side.
We should say South Carolina is so far undefeated.
Matthew Frankie.
We should say that too.
Chalky picks. Chalky picks.
They're a little bit chalky. But you know who else is chalky? Is Obama. Obama does a great job every year, and I love that he fills out his brackets and stuff like that. But, you know, it's sort of like that whole I'm only going to eat 7 almonds all night, you know, and that's it.
It's incredible on the women's bracket. I had a 3 seed in the Final Four. You never get beyond the 3 seed in the women's bracket.
Right. All right, you have the floor.
South Carolina has to be favored on the women's side. And
I look forward to watching every Caitlin Clark game, just like everybody else. And it would be wonderful if this UConn women's team, down five players and important ones, and the further they make it, the happier I am. On the men's side, this is not just one of the best UConn teams. This is one of the best UConn championship teams in terms of the skill sets. And also, it's the best defense since the first championship with Ricky Moore. And that was the best college defense I ever saw played, our first men's championship. And this is certainly close to that. I want to see them beat Houston. I think they'll win the whole thing.
I was, by the way, there at St. Petersburg in 1999, that year that they did win the championship. I did see that happen. Which is, you know, it's pearls before swine.
And we've all credited your fandom with it.
It's pearls before swine because I don't root for UConn anyway. So I should say that my ex-wife's partner, who is beloved by all of this, Kent Jameson, is a Purdue Boilermaker maniac. And he has endured, you know, Purdue is really one of the best teams in the country. It has arguably the best men's player in the country, at least the number one rated. And they've kind of, for want of a better word, choked a couple of times. And it's been very, very hard for Kent. And I don't like to see Kent suffer. So I'm picking Purdue to go all the way. I've got Purdue and Auburn in the championship game. And we'll see what happens. But thanks to everybody who was here today and everybody who listened, to AccuFrankie and to Julia Pistel, who put a lot of hard work into this, and Bill Curry, who didn't.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll see you next year.